Morning Texas Tech. I'm Josh Cook, and we'll have the results of the Grammys coming up in this show.
And I'm Julie Fisher. We'll also talk about some student sports organizations on campus, university construction, and why popular music is so darn popular.
You know why it's so popular, Julie. Everyone loves some T-Swift. Nope. I'm Marissa Trevino, and happy belated birthday to Texas Tech. Our university turned 90 years old yesterday.
I am so proud.
I know. Well, we've done so well.
Growing up. How much do you think we're worth now?
I think they just said $1 billion, so.
$1 billion.
Aging like a fine wine. We've got Kiara Powell coming up next with news and Cutter Martin with weather.
Good morning, I'm Kiara Powell with your KTXT News Update. Pope Benedict XVI is to resign at the end of this month after nearly 8 years as the head of the Catholic Church. According to the BBC, the pontiff says he's too old to continue his duties at the age of 85. The unexpected development surprised many, including some of his closest aides. He became pope in April of 2005 at age 75 following John Paul II's death. The Vatican says it expects a new pope to be elected before the end of March ahead of Easter. A car accident sent two people to the hospital over the weekend, according to KCBD. A rollover happened on County Road 2000 at FM 1294 around 5:30 on Sunday. 18-year-old Aaron Cineros was driving a white Chevy truck when he lost control of the car because of speed. Both his passengers, 19-year-old Martin Villa and 17-year-old Bethany Mendetta, were both transported to UMC. Here's Cutter Martin with a look at your weather.
Good morning, Texas Tech. Pretty cold one out there with temperatures in the mid-20s. Definitely need a heavy jacket or coat, maybe even a scarf out there this morning, as temperatures are in the mid-20s across the central South Plains. But keep in mind, winds in the 10 to 15 mile per hour range are making it feel more like the mid and upper teens, especially northwest of the city of Lubbock. Definitely a cold one for everyone out there, and it'll be a cool afternoon for everyone as well, with highs only reaching the mid-50s. Nothing like the 70s and spring-like weather we've grown accustomed to. I'm Cutter Martin with your KTXC weather. Now back to Good Morning Texas Tech.
Welcome back to Good Morning Texas Tech. Josh Cook alongside Julie Fisher, Marissa Trevino, Kiara Powell, Derek Ginter across the way pushing all the buttons this beautiful nippy Monday morning.
The weather says it feels like 23, and that's really rather too cold for me.
I walked out to my car without a jacket, and I made it out to my car, and I was like, oh man, I should invest. So I went back inside and got a jacket for my own well-being.
I don't blame you.
Thank you. Good call. I don't understand when you say it's cold and don't have a jacket. My mother would look at you and say,
My mother does really? Look at me and say, Julie, what have I done wrong? All right. Well, if y'all were living under a rock for the past few days, the Grammys were last night. I don't really care about the Grammys, but I do care about Justin Timberlake, and I think he did a great job. We'll get into that here in a second. First of all, we put together a student montage package of the Grammy performances and winners.
Ladies and gentlemen, get up on your feet right now.
Right now!
Back on the stage, our friend, the great Justin Timberlake!
Make some noise, Timberlake!
The 2013 Grammys was held last night at the Staples Center in Los Angeles, California, with LL Cool J hosting for the second time in a row. Airing on CBS, the Grammys opened up with Adele winning Best Pop Solo Performance and Carrie Underwood winning Best Country Solo Performance. The 2013 Song of the Year was Fun's We Are Young, featuring Janelle Monáe. And Frank Ocean took home Best Urban Contemporary Album for Channel Orange. The Black Keys won Best Rock Performance for the song Lonely Boy. And Best Pop Vocal Album was won by Kelly Clarkson's Stronger. While Best Country Album was Zac Brown Band's Uncaged. The winner for Best Rap Song Collaboration was Jay-Z and Kanye West's No Church in the Wild. Fun was the winner for Best New Artist, and Record of the Year went to Gotye's Somebody That I Used to Know, featuring Kimbra. And the Album of the Year went to Mumford & Sons' Babel. Some other nominees of the night included Taylor Swift, Ed Sheeran, Carly Rae Jepsen, Katy Perry, Rihanna, Florence and the Machine, LMFAO, Maroon 5, Hunter Hayes, and the Lumineers, tying up the 2013 Grammy Awards. For Good Morning Texas Tech, this is Natasha Parker.
Now, I think we can all agree this Grammys was a lot different from more recent Grammys where people like T-Swift cashed in.
The awful T-Swift opener?
Yeah.
Okay, her sound was great, but the performance was creepy. I love T-Swift, but Alice in Wonderland and I are not friends. And so that just brought me to all my nightmares from like fifth grade
third. I just think the range of music and artists that you have available to open the Grammys, you open with Taylor Swift and that song, it's just, to me, it's not the best way to open the Grammys. I mean, I think from the year of music that you had, you could have opened it with anything else besides Taylor Swift. But I do agree with you, Marissa, that I think for the popular move, I think that's where they went. But the performance was just a little
odd. Well, the Grammys have always been popularity, and not popular by the listeners, popular by the charts. And I know that that sounds different, but if you do radio, you know that charts and what people actually listen to on their own time is very different.
I just feel like that song's kind of played out. I just feel like she could have picked any other song off her record and opened with it, and it would have better than that.
Do they pick the song, or does she pick the song?
I'm pretty sure the artist gets to pick what song they perform.
I've never performed
really?
In the Grammys.
That's so strange.
I can't put in my professional
opinion. Like 5 years ago. Weird.
Me and Josh and Marissa were talking about it during the break. There was a pretty good assortment of different kinds of genres that won. I was kind of impressed. I mean, I know all of those songs have been played into oblivion, but for who won, I was kind of impressed.
You guys Carrie Underwood fans?
Well, no, besides Carrie Underwood.
I like Carrie Underwood.
I think she's so much more talented than Taylor Swift. Let's be fair.
Okay, Taylor Swift is about breakups.
No. Hold on. No one is going to say that Taylor Swift is more talented than Carrie Underwood. That's a lie, that's a joke, and that's just
a crime against humanity.
I would have to disagree. Look how many listeners T-Swift has over Carrie Underwood. It's all
look at what age T-Swift's followers are. If I had a bunch of 12-year-olds following me, I would have a bunch of fans.
Am I 12?
In 20 years, who's going to be more well-remembered? It's going to be Carrie Underwood, and she's going to be one of the top 10 women in country music to have ever sung country music.
In 20 years, I bet T-Swift is still cranking out albums.
Do you know what I have to say about Carrie Underwood's song that won? I feel like every country woman artist has written multiple songs about the house that they grew up in and how they left it behind. I watched the music video. I was like, wait, didn't you release something like this like 2 years ago?
No, did Miranda Lambert do one? And
yeah,
I thought it was way better.
It was good.
It was way more touching, I thought. This one sounded like she wanted to take matches to her old house.
Did you watch the music
video? Wasn't about her old house. It wasn't like a
reflection. It was about her dad.
No, it's not about her dad. It's just a song.
No, it's a song about her dad being an alcoholic. It's sad.
Yeah, I mean, Carrie Underwood's song about her house is about, like, it's mainly about, you know, her childhood and bad things happening, and then essentially all the memories being blown away. And then Miranda Lambert's is kind of more touching.
Yeah,
it's more touching, and that one is more about memories of the house that built me and stuff. So
yeah, that's what it's called, House That Built Me.
It's a good song. It's a quality song.
I like both of them. I don't like the Carrie Underwood as much, but I think it's still, she still has a range that is incredible.
Were
and
you
is
sick
very talented.
Of Gautier by the end of this? Because I put Gautier at the end of that package just to remind you, in case you forgot what the song sounds like.
I'm almost
somebody that I used to know.
More
no,
annoyed with Fun. With
I was.
We were,
I don't like
We
fun.
Are Young. It's just, I like them, but that song is so overplayed.
This is my view of the Grammys. The Grammys awards music that has been played on as many commercials as possible.
Mm-hmm. Well, in some ways, because I think Mumford & Sons, they won a Grammy, and then
I think they won a Grammy for Babel.
Black Keys won. I mean, I don't think they're not played
they
in
had,
mainstream.
They had to give Jack White something.
Well, I have heard Mumford & Sons on mainstream, just not very often.
Yeah, not as much as you hear Fun. I mean, Fun, it's like every hour, top of the hour,
but
boom,
I feel like Fun
again.
Is a reflection of this generation. And Julie and I kind of talked about this, just kind of like, we'll do what we want and forget about the consequences till we have to deal with it. Know, like, that's stupid mentality, guys, but I feel like that's a lot of our generation,
I think,
honest.
With the Grammys, I think the awards are fine and everything, but I think it's more about the performances and what you remember from the performances of that night. And I thought last night's Grammys were really well performed.
I agree.
I didn't really like Justin Timberlake that much. That's for another discussion.
I think Justin's great. We're going to go ahead and hit a break, and we'll be back in a couple of minutes.
You're going to go to the record store. You're going to give them all your money. Radio plays what they want you to hear. Tell me it's cool.
Hey y'all, this is JC with KTXC FM, always bringing y'all hot new music like Come Dance With Me by Ra Ra Riot. Fall in Love by Estelle. Army of Me by Bajork. And join us every Friday with Flashback Fridays from 5 to 7 p.m. when we go back to the music of our childhood with C'est La Vie by Bewitched, As Long As You Love Me by Backstreet Boys, Never Gonna Get It by En Vogue. Keep listening to 88.1 FM The Raider for all the music you love and will fall in love with. Let us know what you want to hear at www.ktxcfm.org.
I'll never let go, Jack. I'll never let go.
Rose wouldn't have had to let go if she'd only listened to KTXT's winter weather alerts with up-to-date emergency weather conditions on the air, Twitter, and Facebook. KTXT Weather will never let you go.
The first annual Texas Tech Abathon is coming up February 22nd and 23rd, hosted by the College of Media and Communication and the Whitaker College of Engineering. The first annual Texas Tech Appathon will challenge students to create the perfect app for the popular on-campus game, Humans vs. Zombies. Visit ttuappathon.com to register now.
Welcome back, Red Raiders. You're listening to Good Morning Texas Tech. Let us know what you think and what you want to talk about by tweeting us or Facebooking us at TheRaider881. Well, I don't know if you've been walking anywhere near the Foreign Language Building lately, but it is very noisy because they are doing construction. And I was in Spanish back whenever I had to do Spanish. I was in Spanish, and I remember my teacher kind of complaining about it because they're taking away a parking lot. So KTXT did a little bit of an investigation, and we asked people kind of what was going on and what they thought about losing such a close parking lot to their building.
This is Carmen Askernese for KTXT 88.1 The Raider. I'm outside of the Foreign Language Building, going to talk with some students and get their opinions on the new building that's going to be put up there in place of a parking lot. We're going to find out today how students feel about losing a parking lot, because parking on campus is such a hassle. The parking lot that used to be in front of the Foreign Language Building next to the theater department, do you know anything about that beforehand?
No, I've never parked there, and I didn't know students were even allowed to park there.
Do you think like parking is already difficult on campus for students without them tearing down the parking lot?
Yeah, it's real difficult. It's kind of annoying that park anywhere for like 20 minutes or something, you gotta be worried about getting a ticket.
Do you think since this parking lot that they just tore down was mostly for staff, if they replace a student parking lot with a staff parking lot, do you think that's gonna make it more difficult for the students?
Yeah, if they take it more staff parking spots, just because they tore this one down, it would reduce student spots.
Well, thank you for your time. They tore down the parking lot that used to be here to put up a new building.
Uh-huh.
How do you think that's going to affect parking on campus?
Well, I heard that there will be another parking lot built, I think, on that area of the library and probably over here as well. So eventually they are going to replace it. But, you know, the more buildings we put, you know, the less space we have for parking. At the same time, we need the building. So it's a sort of difficult solution.
Do you usually park on campus?
Well, I used to park over here in front. I'm a faculty, so now they move us to the building at the corner.
Do you think it's a little more or less convenient to park over there than it was to park in front?
Not really. It helps if we walk more. It's better for our health. Mm-hmm. So I hope that in the future we'll have a campus where we can walk more and bicycle more, so we'll have better health.
All right. Have a good day.
Thank you to Pope Benedict for giving us that exclusive interview.
No,
that was a professor at the foreign language department.
Wants us all to be healthy and walk more.
In case y'all are just tuning in, that was a couple of interviews that one of our students, Carmen Askrenes, did with some people around the foreign language building. They're tearing out a parking lot to build some building. I don't even know what it is.
I think it's a special education building.
Okay.
I don't know for sure, though. That's just around the rumor mill.
Basically, I know that I've had a couple of professors that were not happy about the change, having to walk farther, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And they seemed to be under the opinion that that building was not necessary.
Well, we're supposed to talk to one of the people over the planning services today. So I will let you know what that building is. And then you can decide if you feel like it's worth taking up that parking lot later.
I just think the placement of it is just an odd spot, because it's not like you have a lot of room there to put a building of, I guess, efficient size. I think it was just kind of, oh, well, here's an empty piece of grass. Let's put a building here. Or there was a parking lot there.
And it also was the parking lot for the theater building, mm-hmm. and for, is that English on the corner?
Yes, it is English. One thing that I had a professor bring up that I actually thought was pretty interesting that I hadn't thought about, by putting that building there, you take away any kind of emergency vehicle access to the foreign language building. And I hadn't even thought about that, but I mean, if there's a fire or somebody has a heart attack or something, that's going to make it a lot more difficult.
If they have a heart attack, they can walk to the car, okay, Julie?
Sorry. Because they still have parking. It's just in a different place. They should have walked before. If they hadn't parked so close, they probably wouldn't have heart trouble.
Exactly. That's what they're saying. Texas Tech is trying to help you out, buddy, okay? Do not have your heart disease.
Well, there's a lot of new construction that's going to come to Tech. I'm reading right now that there's going to be a new residence hall in 2014. Mm-hmm. Which I will be gone, so I will not be able to see a new residence hall come up in 3 months.
Oh, darn.
Oh, it was crazy fast how fast they put up Boston.
Yeah.
Not safe to live in, I feel like. Huge building that comes up in 3 months is not safe.
It wasn't three months.
Okay. That's exaggeration. It was about a year.
No, it was not a year.
Because I was living in my little shack in the back house at that time, and I remember passing it every day.
I remember they used to play, that used to be where everyone went to go play sports, like
Quidditch. I saw that happening.
That was so awesome. Man, I wish I had more time in my day and I wasn't so lazy.
Quidditch, what is that?
Harry Potter.
You've never seen Quidditch?
Oh my gosh.
Oh, you're a Harry Potter hater, aren't you?
You know what? I'm not a Harry Potter hater, but I feel like in the same people who told me I needed to see Top Gun, y'all are telling me I need to see Harry Potter, and I saw it. Not a fan.
Top Gun was great. Oh, that was one of the best days of my life.
Here's my thing about construction around campus. I think construction is good. They're building a new petroleum engineering building, which is fantastic for that program.
They're putting together that whole research park.
Mm-hmm. They're also adding to the Jones again. That started this month or last month. Well,
do you know why they're doing that?
What they're doing is they're actually tearing out the old video board and old sound system. They're going to put in a high definition video board, and
we don't need that.
And they're going to finish off that end of the stadium. It's actually going to, when it's all done, it's going to look nice because they're using that Spanish Renaissance architecture on that end to kind of wrap around.
This is what I heard. I heard that they are installing that extra seating to block the view from that restaurant on top of the parking garage.
Well, that's why they're putting in the 100 foot wide by 36 foot tall video board.
It is. I feel like that's very mean. Who cares if they're watching from the restaurant across the street?
Because you are losing money if people are cashing in.
You know what?
On
you know when we lose money?
That's true.
We don't. We're fine.
I know.
I think Texas Tech, well, what did you just say? We're worth $1 billion? You're fine if a few eyes see the game from across the street.
Okay? It would be better to be worth $1 billion and $1.
Oh, well, I'm sorry.
More money is always a good thing.
Well, you honestly, from the roof across the street, even with the new video board, you'll still be able to see the opposite end zone. So you'll still be able to see kind of
like
what's going on.
Half the game. All right. Well, we're going to go ahead and take a break, and we'll be back with a guest on student sports.
With your KTXT Sports Update, I'm Cameron Brock. The Texas Tech softball team starting its season off in Las Vegas at the Sportco Kickoff Classic this past weekend, the Red Raiders finishing 3-2, defeating Central Florida, Minnesota, and UNLV. Starting Friday, Tech will play in the Troy Cox Classic. The tournament takes place in Las Cruces, New Mexico. The Texas Tech Lady Raider basketball team defeated the TCU Horned Frogs 64-46 in Fort Worth on Saturday. The Lady Raiders are now 8-4 in Big 12 conference play.
Just defensively picked up the intensity, and you know we're able to get some easy baskets, especially there to start the second half. You know, our offense was our defense there for a while, so we kind of controlled two things on the road. We can defend and rebound, and I thought from that point on, our kids really played really, really, really hard with great character.
The Texas Tech Red Raider basketball team continued their losing woes Saturday at Baylor, 75-48. The Red Raiders sit in ninth place in the Big 12 at 2-8. The Texas Tech Red Raider tennis team won two matches Saturday. Tech defeated the Wichita State Shockers 6-1 before shutting out the Lamar Cardinals 7-0. The Red Raiders' next match is on February 22nd in Baton Rouge, Louisiana against LSU. Baseball season is around the corner again. Pitchers and catchers for the Chicago Cubs and Colorado Rockies report to camp today. Former Red Raider Chad Bettis is among the Rockies' invitees. Bettis ended his 2012 season with an injury during spring training. With your KTXT Sports Update, I'm Cameron Brock. Now back to Good Morning Texas Tech.
1, 2, 3.
Welcome back, Red Raiders. You're listening to Good Morning Texas Tech. I'm Julie Fisher. We're here with Josh Cook, our sports director, and Sippy Barton.
Hey, how y'all doing?
She is quite involved with the rugby team.
Yeah, that's how it's going.
Which, until you joined it, until I saw stuff on Facebook about it, I didn't even know that there was rugby here at Tech, which
is
awesome.
That's pretty common for, you know, a typical American. So,
typical American. Sorry.
I understand. No, it's a foreign game, but it's kind of getting popularity over here in the United States, and especially with women. That's a huge thing because it's such a physical game.
Yeah. You get to tackle people, and I don't want to play football, but I think rugby would be awesome.
It's the best stress reliever ever. Like, during finals time, we are, like, undefeated, you know? So that's
what is the concept of rugby?
What is the concept of rugby is what she asked.
You know, I don't really know.
Winning. Win at whatever you do.
It's just, if you don't know what it is, you just pretty much tackle the person with the ball. You're trying to score more points than the other team, which is like every other sport. But it's a lot of fun. And we get to play, you know, teams like UT and A&M. So all the rival schools that you hate, you get to
take out your
take
frustration.
It out, you know, get it done.
So rugby is a student run organization, right?
Pretty much. I mean, we get help from the rec center, but cool. I mean, we have officers and we have to fundraise because we pretty much have to pay to play. Mm-hmm. That's how it is. We don't, you know, have Under Armour stuff like basketball and football, which who do I need to talk to about that? But that's how it is. That's how it is.
So mm-hmm. it falls under a club team, mm-hmm. correct?
That is, that's it. And it's like Quidditch, what y'all were talking about earlier. Quidditch is a club team, too.
Is it really?
Uh-huh.
That's so funny.
And apparently they tackle, too. And they
tackle yeah. and quit? That's not, well, I
guess just thought they ran around on brooms.
Well,
I don't know.
I feel like that's scary.
If you play on the Quidditch team, you need to let us know what the rules are on our website. Hit us up on Facebook at the Raider 881. Because I'm curious. We'll interview you. Because
yeah.
I'm not really sure how you do that without being able to fly and having enchanted bludgers. I don't really know what you're supposed to do.
And then apparently the snitch is just some dude dressed up in gold running around.
That's awesome.
And I heard a story once about the Tech Quidditch team that the golden snitch guy, like, sat in his car and fell asleep, and they didn't
That's
know where he was
do.
At, so they just kind of kept running around campus, and finally, I guess he woke
three
up.
3 days later. That's awesome.
But getting back to rugby, if you haven't, I guess to make a reference to a movie, if you haven't seen Invictus, that's a movie right. about rugby, and it's a fantastic film as well. But when you watch that movie, it's a very violent sport. It's almost like football on steroids because they're not wearing helmets or anything.
That's true.
So awesome.
Yeah, I mean, they have like little padded helmets, but when you're getting hit, it doesn't really matter. You know, I mean, you got mouth guards. That counts for something, right?
There's some really awesome pictures of Sibby up on her Facebook page of her just plowing through walls of people.
Yeah.
Well, Kara looks like she has a question. Kara.
How do you try out for rugby? Not that I would ever try out because I'm very small and you would kill me, but if I wanted to, what is this process like?
We don't have tryouts. That's the thing. We're always looking for different new people, so you're more than welcome to join.
But no, Kara, you may have to take off your glasses.
I'm okay.
Yes.
No, thank you.
You don't really need to see details. You just have to run it by.
We'll give you the ball and you just run to our voice. But no, there's no tryouts. You just come up to practice and see if you like it. We don't really, you know, we need girls of all different agility and size. I mean, that's how it is. But there's no tryouts. Just come out if you want to look for a new sport.
Now, with rugby being such a violent sport, what kind of do y'all take safety precautions? Is there certain things that y'all watch for concussion-wise or anything like that?
Absolutely. We learn how to fall. We learn how to get mm-hmm. tackled. You kind of go like knees, hips, elbows, not really your head. Try to keep that, you know, above mm-hmm. ground. But that's kind of how we do it. And we do a lot of training, a lot of strength training and conditioning to prevent that from happening. We haven't had anything really too bad. I mean, I kind of had an incident, but
mm-hmm.
I'm already back.
Jeez. What's one of the worst injuries you've ever seen?
Oh man. Y'all ready for this?
Oh, here comes the graphic.
If I throw up, DG, mute my mic.
No joke. I'll move too. Let me know. The worst, we had a girl on our team break another girl's femur.
Are you serious?
That's the hardest bone.
Oh,
to break on someone's body.
It's a little bit thick.
That is
but,
awesome.
She did. And so we always try to get her motivated to play by like, hey, let's get those femurs, Kat.
Femur breaker.
Yeah.
Did like, the girl who had her femur broken, did she come back?
I don't know.
I would leave.
I
would
bet.
Be so done.
And even if she did come back, I don't think she'd ever come to play us again. I wouldn't. Oh, my gosh.
How did that even happen?
It was a clean tackle. You know, nothing dirty. But I think just how she fell.
Oh,
she didn't
goodness.
Drink her milk that day. I don't know.
She's lactose intolerant.
Yeah.
If you can't drink milk, do not play rugby. You'll be in a whole heap of trouble.
I've only ever heard of that happening one other time, and it was because a guy had
he jumped out of a plane or something.
No,
syndrome. No, he had like bone
well,
disease.
Well, it was more of a broken, more than
down,
a broken leg.
And
this is
broke.
Making me feel wiggly inside.
I know.
I guess getting back to rugby, you mentioned it's an international sport. Do you ever see, or do you ever envision rugby becoming a sport in America that could become popular, like, say, football on Sundays, you get rugby on Saturdays or something like that?
That's, I mean, that would be awesome. But and it might could get to that point, but, I mean, we already have international tournaments here, like, mm-hmm. this past weekend.
That's cool.
They had all the international teams in Vegas, so, like, New Zealand and South Africa, like crazy athletes that are just incredible to watch. So, but it's definitely getting popular. Women too. They had a tournament in Houston.
That's awesome.
International as well. So it's getting there.
I'm tempted. I'm so lazy though. I took the stairs up here this morning. I was like,
that's
oh
a step,
man.
Though. That's a step. I took the elevator.
When you look at rugby, and really quickly, what's the difference between rugby and football when you break down rules and stuff?
Oh my gosh, the rules in rugby are ridiculous. I don't even know.
Yeah, it's just running.
You know, you run. You can't, the biggest one is you can't pass forward. So you have to pass backwards. I mean, there's so many like scrums. It's like kind of like where the football line comes together. A scrum is just having eight people and all bind on together to do the same thing, kind of. It's crazy. It's crazy. I don't know why.
I think it sounds like a blast, dude. I would be all over that if I was a little bit more brave. Well, thanks, Sibby.
Thanks,
Sibby Barton with the rugby team at Tech. Thanks for interviewing us. This was awesome.
Come on, play.
Good morning, I'm Kiara Powell with your KTXT News Update. Pope Benedict XVI is to resign at the end of this month after nearly 8 years as the head of the Catholic Church. According to the BBC, the pontiff says he's too old to continue his duties at the age of 85. The unexpected development surprised many, including some of his closest aides. He became pope in April of 2005 at age 75, following John Paul II's death. The Vatican says it expects a new pope to be elected before the end of March, ahead of Easter. Texas Tech is taking part in RecycleMania along with approximately 300 other universities throughout the U.S. and Canada. RecycleMania is an 8-week-long competition and benchmarking tool for college and university recycling programs to promote waste reduction activities on their campuses. To make a drop-off, enter the R18 parking lot from Flint, north of Main Street. There are signs directing you to the recycling containers behind housing services. All items being dropped off need to be bagged appropriately and all containers emptied. Here's Cutter Martin with a look at our weather.
Good morning. It's a cold one out there with temperatures in the mid and upper 20s across the central and southern South Plains. Winds are making it feel more like the upper teens to around the 20-degree mark. Definitely need those heavy jackets and coats as you head out the door to work or school. This afternoon will be cool as well. Maybe a jacket or sweater still necessary with highs only in the mid-50s. Partly sunny skies will continue through the day with winds not causing any blowing dust, only in the 10 to 15 mile per hour range. But a storm system will bring rain, wind, and maybe even snow on Tuesday. I'm Cutter Martin with your KTXT weather. Now back to Good Morning Texas Tech.
Welcome back to Good Morning Texas Tech. Josh Cook alongside Marissa Trevino, Kira Powell, and Derek Ginter across the way. Of course, you can connect with us on Twitter by tweeting us at TheRaider881 or on Facebook, facebook.com/TheRaider881, or use the hashtag TheRaider on Twitter as well. We are now joined by Dr. Chris Smith. He's an associate professor and chair of musicology and ethnomusicology and director of the Vernacular Music Center at the Texas Tech University School of Music. Got that all out once. To talk about the Grammys and pop culture, pop music from last night. Dr. Smith, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
It's my pleasure to be here, folks.
Now, what is musicology and ethnomusicology?
Well, the conventional definition, they're scholarly disciplines that kind of come out of history and anthropology, respectively. Musicology is the study of music in its historical contexts, mm-hmm. times and places and people surrounding the music, why the music sounds the way that it does and reflects the times and places and people. And then ethnomusicology is the study of music in global cultures, typically in specific situations. Where does the music take place? For what purposes does it take place? So really, they're very much related disciplines, which is why I have that sort of joint appointment. One of them is the study of music in historical contexts, and the other is the study of music in cultural contexts.
Gaia, so what would our music today say about us?
it would say many diverse things. I will spare any of your listeners a rant and say, I think that any music anywhere, including the music of 21st century North American culture, reflects priorities and ways of seeing the world and ideas about how people should communicate and what's important in human communities' lives. And although it might be presumed that somebody who was a scholar of music history, there seems to be something that happens with scholars of music history that in any era, going all the way back to the 17th century, typically scholars say, oh, it used to be better. You know, in the 17th century, people were saying, this young whippersnapper, Monteverdi, the music used to be better. And in the 18th century, scholars would say, there's been no good music written in the last 40 years. And we just, as scholars, we just seem to say that over and over again. But instead of trying to decide whether the music is good or bad, or of higher or lower value, or more or less edifying, the way that musicologists, the way that I in the Vernacular Music Center tend to think about it is to say, well, what does it tell us about ourselves? Which gets back to your original question. And I think it tells us that we live in a global culture in which novelty is prized, in which participation is not prized. You know, mostly people consume music by sitting on the couch and surfing, right? There was a time when if you wanted music, you had to make it, or you had to know someone who made it, or at the very least, you had to go to some place where someone was making it. Mm-hmm. And with the advent of mechanical pianos, so-called player pianos, and then various kinds of recording on wax cylinders or on 78 RPM LPs or on cassettes or on mini discs or on CDs or now by the internet, you don't have to connect directly person to person, one to one, with the people who are making the music. You don't have to know them. They don't even have to be alive. They don't have to be living. In fact, sometimes the music is made by machines. So I don't think that's necessarily a good or a bad thing, but I think it definitely tells us something about ourselves. And we live in a globalized culture, a culture that's mostly about consumption, buying stuff, or bootlegging and downloading stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that I think that a lot of our cultural expressions, not just music, sort of reflect that. I mean, there's a weird thing. I was just down on 34th Street a couple of days ago, and apparently a friend of mine who has a business down there was saying, oh, yeah, they're shooting a reality TV show over there about cars. And I said, really, a reality TV show? And he said, yeah, well, it's not reality TV. It's just this is where the car collection is. So they come here, and they set it all up, and that's the reality TV show. So the culture that we live in is really, we're very interested in other people's lives and other people's music and other people's expression and experience, but mostly kind of in a voyeuristic way. Like, we're going to sit back here and watch, you know, Survivor, you know. Mm-hmm. Grammys is kind of like Survivor for musicians.
And did you catch any of the Grammys last night?
I did, little bits and pieces of it. A lot of the stuff that I was particularly interested in was stuff that doesn't usually get the primetime slots, the Lifetime Achievement Awards. There was a beautiful tribute to music educators.
Oh, I did see that.
I don't think I've ever seen that on the Grammys, and that's a wonderful thing. Especially now, because on top of everything else, we live in a society in which money for the arts, particularly money for the arts in education, is just disintegrating. It's just going away.
And they did have the Save the Music Foundation going. Is that still going on?
It is still going on. There are a number of artists, and I give them great credit for it. I'm thinking particularly of the rock and blues musician Bonnie Raitt, who have recognized that many of the people who made absolutely massive contributions to American music of all kinds in many different styles are people who weren't necessarily treated very well, or they were not treated very well in terms of business, or they didn't get they were not fairly recompensed for what they had done. A lot of times they just plain got ripped off. And so things like the Save the Music Foundation, which is primarily about music advocacy, and the House of Blues Foundation that Bonnie Raitt runs, and things like that are I think, are really valuable, really constructive things, because they seek to recognize that American music, the music that emerges out of the American experience, is some of the most influential music that the world has ever known. And I don't mean it's better, although I think it's beautiful. I mean it's more influential. American music became the global popular music style. And a lot of the people who were huge contributors to that, you know, the great blues musicians and country musicians and musicians from many immigrant cultures, on down to people in the hip-hop and punk rock worlds, they never received really even recognition, much less a fair recompense for what they did. And so when the Grammys gave a Lifetime Achievement Award yesterday evening to a Texas blues musician named Lightnin' Hopkins, who is one of the remarkable people that I've ever met. I mean, a remarkable man who, you know, never made, I don't know that he ever really, until the last few years of his life, ever even made a living from music. So when the Grammys use that sort of very public, very splashy platform, that celebrity platform, to do things like that, I think that's really great because music is a very, very central part of who we are as Americans. And so who we are as Americans gets reflected in our music. And that's both something to celebrate and also something to sort of kind of face up to and say, yeah, we have been a culture that kind of ripped off poor people. And we've been a culture that kind of discriminated against minority groups. And that kind of discrimination played out in music and in music business. And so when the Grammys acts to recognize that people should be treated more fairly, or the contributions that great musicians who have passed have made, I think that's a really good thing, and I'm always happy to see that.
And who was that? I didn't catch that part.
I'm sorry.
The winner of the Lifetime Achievement?
A man named Lightnin' Hopkins. He was a Houston and Dallas-based blues musician, very influential on people like Eric Clapton, mm-hmm. And just a remarkable storyteller and raconteur and one of those people that you meet who may not be famous in the popular culture, but when you're in a room, and it could be a musician or an artist or a media person or an author or a dancer, you get in a room with that person, you think, this person is really special and has a special kind of art to offer. And Lightnin's been dead at least 25 years, maybe longer than that. And so that the Grammys nominating board reached back and said, no, the man, you know, give the man his due, I think that's a really great thing.
I think so, too. I think when they use this platform where everyone's watching, or yep. at least a good majority yep. of the U.S. is watching, to put something out like Music Educators mm-hmm. and really give them a spotlight, I think that's great.
It is. It's important, and it's not, those kinds of awarenesses don't tend to really be very central part of our popular culture. I mean, our popular culture is mostly about selling and buying stuff, you know.
Which is kind of sad, because I know that I wasn't in music, but for the good part of my like high school years, a lot of my friends were in yep. choir or band or orchestra, yep. and that really shaped their personality yep. and who they are.
Well, it does, and you know, I've been a working musician for about 41 years, and musicians in our society historically have not been treated very well, and they haven't been respected very much, and go in through the back door and don't take any food and don't steal the spoons and that kind of thing. That great line when you're introduced to somebody as a musician, the person says, you're a musician, huh? So what do you do for work? You know, it's that's just the way that our society has tended to think about artists, right? That they're fundamentally unserious. And yet, Texas is the only state in the union that still has a required music component in public education. The other 49 states in the union don't require that. In Texas, they do, which means that because you got to have a marching band, right? You got football, you got to have a marching band. If you have a marching band, you have to have space for people who are orchestral musicians or singers, which means that every high school, every middle school has a band, choir, and orchestra program. And what that means is that in turn, a lot of those people won't go on to be professional musicians. It's not for them, or that's not the kind of life that they want. But it means that almost everyone in the state of Texas has had a fairly significant and direct and sort of ongoing engagement with making music. And I actually think that the people who succeed in music, the people who come along, you know, graduate high school and come along to our university, to our School of Music here at Texas Tech, those are people who have learned an awful lot about self-discipline. They've learned to sit their butts down in the chair for 4 hours a day, 5 days a week, and practice what they do in order to grow toward a very long-term goal. And I think self-discipline is a good thing.
And if you're just now joining us, we're with Dr. Chris Smith from the Music Department, and you're going to tell us a little bit about Mr. Darcy. What is that?
I am. Well, thank you for asking. I run a small organization called the Vernacular Music Center, and it's housed within the School of Music at Texas Tech. Vernacular music just means music that people play and learn and teach and pass on by ear and in the memory. So not necessarily music that you sight read or music that's played by large sight reading ensembles. Instead, it's music that people play or sing or dance in a kind of oral tradition way. So Mr. Darcy is an event. It's a formal English country dance ball. I think this is our fourth year of offering this event. It's participatory, right? It's different from, you know, consumption versus participation. This year it is Valentine's evening, the 14th of February. That's this coming Thursday evening at 7 p.m. at the museum at Texas Tech. Okay. Which is the first time that we've done the event there. It'll be in the beautiful sculpture court, the DeWitt sculpture court they have there. And it will include live music and live dancing and instruction in dancing and a buffet and that coffee service. We were talking before we got on mic about the BBC productions of things like Jane Eyre and Pride and Prejudice and those films. This is the dancing that is sort of central to those films, because in those books by Charlotte and Emily Bronte and Jane Austen and others of the period, dancing is this very important kind of social ritual, because in that time there were pretty strict restraints upon how men and women were to interact, and unmarried women could not just open a conversation with a man. She had to wait to be asked to be introduced, all those kinds of social things. And so dancing was this kind of ritual where you could socialize and you could dance with everyone in the room in a very controlled environment. And so there are all these subcurrents, and they're very central in the novels. And if you've seen the Keira Knightley Pride and Prejudice or the Colin Firth Pride and Prejudice that was done by the BBC, the dance scenes are really central. The music is beautiful. The dancing is very elegant. The event is actually what we say on our handbills is period or formal dress requested. Because one thing that we learned is that Texans love to dress up. They love to like...
We do. It's just so much fun. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter what it is. If it's a theme, I want to go get a dress for it.
Yeah, exactly. And so we thought, well, okay, that's what people like to do. The thing about this is this is social dancing. So it's not very demanding. And it's the kind of... It's intended to be accessible to all, right? And what that means is that even if someone has not done this kind of dancing before, it's very straightforward. It's geometric. It's partnered. There'll be tutorials through the evening, and then there'll be display dances and then participatory dances. And we have a following for it now of people who really like the idea of being able to participate, being able to do something that's elegant and beautiful and rewarding and involves social time. It's also, I have to tell you that if there's anybody out there who's been a little bit dilatory about making Valentine's Day plans, I want to tell you this is the ultimate Valentine's Day date. I mean, this is a year's worth of good mojo for Valentine's Day, because it's the very evening, and it's elegant and involves
and
dress
it's
up.
Fun.
Yeah, it is.
It's
it
just
is.
Something that if someone asks me, I'd be like, that's so fun and creative.
Yep.
Great idea.
Yep, indeed. And it's participatory, right? It's not about sitting back on a couch with a remote or the iPhone app and downloading things. It's about, no.
Where can we get more information on this?
You can get more information in a couple of different places. You can find the event on Facebook if you just search Dancing with Mr. Darcy. There's a very active Facebook group there. You can also check our website at vernacularmusiccenter.org. This Thursday, February the 14th at 7 p.m., Museum at Texas Tech University.
Well, thank you again. And if you didn't catch it, we are with Dr. Chris Smith. I'm Marissa Trevino. And we have Josh Cook over here, who seems like he is about run out of coffee. We'll see y'all in a bit.
Whether you've fallen in love or Cupid has just been flat out avoiding you, you never know what fun there is to be had on Valentine's Day. On Wednesday the 13th from 4 to 7 p.m., there will be a free movie matinee for students with an ID at the Sub Allen Theater. On the 14th from 7 to 11 p.m., join the TTU Vernacular Music Center, the College of Visual and Performing Arts, the Cap Rock Celtic Association, and the Roots Music Institute in collaboration with the Museum of Texas Tech University as they present Dancing with Mr. Darcy, a Jane Austen evening with the TTU Vernacular Music Center. Tickets are $20 per person or $35 a pair and can be purchased through the Roots Music Institute or select a seat. Contact Abby Rhodes at 806-445-4637 for more information. All tickets must be purchased in advance. And finally, this Friday at 7:30, if you're single and ready to mingle, stop by Wall Gates at 7:30 for free pizza, games, activities, and perhaps even the person you'll end up marrying. For Good Morning Texas Tech, I'm Chris Grubbs.
Just rolling through the streets of Lubbock, keeping us safe. and listening to KTXT The Raider 88.1. I've never listened to anything else, and I'll never have to.
First annual Texas Tech Abathon is coming up February 22nd and 23rd, hosted by the College of Media and Communication and the Whitaker College of Engineering. The first annual Texas Tech Abathon will challenge students to create the perfect app for the popular on-campus game, Humans vs. Zombies. Visit ttuabathon.com to register now.
Red Raider Nation, this is head football coach Cliff Kingsbury, and you're listening to your student radio station, KTXT, The Raider 88.1.
I'm sad alone in a boggy marsh, totally motionless except for her heart. Mud flowed up into Lump's pajamas. She totally confused all the passing piranhas.
Welcome back, Red Raiders. You're listening to Good Morning Texas Tech. I'm Julie Fisher. I'm here with Josh Cook, Marissa Trevino, and Kiara Powell.
Hello.
We're kind of here with Josh Cook.
I'm here.
Josh is totally zoned into whatever is on his laptop.
Le Facebook.
I thought he was going to fall asleep on me.
This is the last this is the last segment of our show today.
Julie, what's this song that just finished playing? What is that?
Lump.
Lump.
I don't get it.
She's in my head.
It's just fun. Who cares if you don't get it?
Presidents of the United States or something like that.
I don't know.
I guess it goes along with Dr. Smith, the reflection of our time. Oh, it's a flashback.
It's a flashback.
Oh.
So we're going to talk a little bit about what we did over this weekend, and Marissa and Julie and I went to see Top Gun.
First of all, we need to set this up so you understand why we saw Top Gun.
Yes.
We, in one of our classes, somehow Kiara Powell managed to win tickets.
Because I'm awesome.
No, because Kiara Powell opted out of every single answer and somehow won points against people for not answering.
So I can't help it if I know how to play a game, okay?
She won
tickets
to see Top Gun 3D.
That's true.
And we called Marissa and said, come
at the IMAX. Okay, so I've told people I haven't seen this movie and everyone's upset with me. How could you not? It's just a crime against humanity.
I've never seen it either, and I really didn't think it was all that impressive.
No.
It was all right.
And then we get in there, and my... Well... I don't know. It's a classic, apparently.
It
I don't
is.
Know. And then we get in there, and we have these goggles on, and the screen is huge. And the older I get, the more my equilibrium cannot handle a whole
Kiara
lot Powell, of movement.
24 years old.
I know. It's really sad, but I thought I was going to throw up at the beginning of the movie because the screen kept... seeming to move
there was
so
some dynamic
much.
Jet action going on.
I did not care for that at all. A. And then B, oiled men. Why are you pre-oiled to play volleyball? You don't need to do that.
No, that was
it's really
sweat.
Awkward,
it
uncomfortable.
Wasn't pre-oiled.
There were so many scenes in the locker room. And the plot line just was terrible. I did not care for this movie at all.
I thought that it was in 3D and it was stupid to pay an extra $5 for nothing that was in 3D. The smoke was in 3D. Cool. I see smoke coming at me.
Did it's y'all not even... This is... Here's what shocked me about these two people. The scene where Goose dies, I was a good movie watcher and I gasped and said, no, Goose, why? They just sat there emotionless.
I laughed. Because it
you
was just
it
silly. It was
just
so
like,
silly.
Meh.
He hit the whatever the little enclosure thing, and then there's blood. The canopy, and there's blood everywhere. And Tom Cruise so shaken up he can't even get back in the skies.
Him with his crooked teeth.
Oh my gosh, that was awful. And then Marissa's like, he's so attractive. No, he is not. He was so unattractive. The flight instructor. I would have preferred him be the main character because he would have at least been cute to look at the whole time.
The worst thing about this movie is that Josh Cook did not come with us.
It's true.
He doesn't like to do girls' nights with us.
No.
Unless it's required.
No. I was making up for some lost sleep from last week on Friday night. And yeah, so I really didn't do anything except go out later after I rested. But, you know, that's for another
in
time.
In which everyone else got an invitation except
no.
for me.
I didn't get an invite.
No.
So to be fair, no, you didn't. You
but
weren't
you
the only
were,
one.
You were intended to get an invite. He was just like, oh, I thought I invited you. And I was like, I didn't get an invite. He said, yeah.
So this next weekend. Well, no, not this next weekend. Or, well, okay.
Never. Thank you.
Wait, let's not make... Let's not make weekend plans on there. I feel like nobody cares about.
Why did that become a Target Josh thing? I just feel like I got cornered there into a Top Gun conversation.
Would really like to be invited places.
If y'all went and saw Top Gun, tweet us a picture of the awesome poster that you got because I'm excited about it. Oh, it's so cool.
I meant to bring that so I could put it in my office.
I can't be the only one who didn't. I liked Meg Ryan. Is that a redeeming quality of that movie?
No.
She was the worst part.
No.
I didn't think she was that great. I was like, meh.
She had some funny lines.
The three songs that play during that whole movie.
Now, here's the problem. Here's the problem with seeing Top Gun in 3D. And there's no point to see it in 3D because it wasn't shot in 3D.
Thank you.
And that's the problem because they have to have actual 3D cameras that can shoot 3D. It's a special camera lens.
Have y'all seen The Hobbit?
No.
Okay, that was shot in 3D, wasn't it?
I think that thing was shot in 3D.
That was really, really strange. If anyone's seen The Hobbit, you know what I'm talking about. And the frame rate was, I think they shot double frames per second than normal. It was really disorienting. It looked really cool.
The idea of some naked mole rat looking thing coming at me from the screen is really disturbing. I do not want to see that in 3D.
I think that the roles have been...
I didn't see Avatar.
Avatar was so good.
Sorry.
I was really pissy about my friends wanting to go see that, and then I saw it, and I was like, I love Avatar.
I think the consensus is that 3D movies are not worth anything, and y'all have bad taste.
I think they've just overkilled
them. Bad taste? Do not throw me under the bus. I did not want to hear that, okay?
She just ran you over with the bus.
It's not unusual. It happens a lot. Emails that are sent out. Well, okay. I mean, it just happens.
Julie hates everyone and everything.
I don't. I've actually been pretty pleasant this show in comparison. Also this week, for all of you lovers out there, it is Valentine's Day this Thursday.
And I will be spending it alone.
Or for all of you haters out there, that's
fine. We are going to have a special Valentine's Day show, but we want to know... We want to hear some of your hilarious Valentine's Day stories, because I know you all have them. If you have a story about shunned love, breakups at Disney World, anything.
We want to hear the worst of the worst.
We do.
Bring it.
And you can tell us the best of the best.
Facebook. I've heard of that. Never happened.
If you got proposed to, like, during 3D Top Gun, for instance, it was the best day of your life, tell us about it. We want.
I'm sad for you if that's the best day of your life.
Hit us up at the Raider 8.
No need for speed. No.
I can just see the theme song to Top Gun playing in the background
and
some guy like dropping into his knee.
I literally covered my ears and hid my head in my lap because I was so scared and sad because the song wouldn't stop playing. Stop the song.
It was there was two women in that whole movie, wasn't there?
Yes.
Yeah. I don't really remember it all.
Top
that
Gun
well.
Is definitely a movie for the ladies.
It's a movie for the dudes.
No.
A movie for my boyfriend from high school. That's what that.
No, that's so Top Gun is a chick flick beyond all chick flicks.
Really?
What about
that?
Have
you never seen The Notebook or anything like that?
No, I've seen Top Gun.
Saw that movie this weekend. Whatever.
Well, that about does it for us today. Once again, thanks to our guests and all of the students that helped us put this show together. We sure do appreciate it. And you, the listeners, for tuning in and giving us your feedback. Y'all have a good day.
You could earn a master's degree in 1 year with the College of Media and Communication at Texas Tech University. Our 30-hour graduate program prepares you for exciting careers in areas like advertising, electronic media, journalism, media strategies, public relations, and sports media. Courses are available in the afternoons and evening, allowing you to build a schedule that fits your needs. For additional information, including how to apply, visit ttugrad.org.
For keeping on top of the news.
You're listening to the BBC World Service. I'm Robin Lustig.
I'm Julian Marshall.
This is Owen Bennett-Jones with NewsHour.
For finding out what's happened.
They're out on the stage, the protest leaders, still trying to rally their supporters.
And for knowing why it's happened.
They've often then turned to the Taliban as another way of earning a living.
Stay in touch with the world with NewsHour from the BBC.
The BBC World Service. Weekday mornings from 5 to 9 here on The Raider 88.1.
The first annual Texas Tech Abathon is coming up February 22nd and 23rd, hosted by the College of Media and Communication and the Whitaker College of Engineering. The first annual Texas Tech Abathon will challenge students to create the perfect app for the popular on-campus game, Humans vs. Zombies. Visit ttuapathon.com to register now.
With studios located in the Media and Communication Building on the Texas Tech University campus, this is the Raider 88.1 KTXT FM Lubbock. For questions and comments, email raider881@gmail.com. That is RAIDER881@gmail.com.